This episode of Film Sack brought to you by you at patreon.com/frogpants. Consider supporting us if you haven't already. And to those who have, we love you. That's patreon.com/frogpants.
How about I have your ass made into mincemeat? I'll tell you what in fact happened with my neighbors. It's got nothing to do with barking dogs. That family way back did something vicious to mine.
Oh shit, that started late. Hold on.
I'm bleeding to death. Humor me. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 245. My name is Scott Johnson, and that's Brian. He'll give you $500 for that busket done away.
Busket. Tisket a tusket a busket. Hey, this movie is more a 90 mobster movie than Eddie Vedder giving Kurt Cobain a back rub and a flannel shirt and a pair of Doc Martens. Nah. Nah, don't say that. Nah. That dude, what
yeah.
was up?
Yeah, what was up with that dude?
Oh my God.
Also with us, Randy, never shoot Raymond's brother in the face with a squirt gun, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Did you know that I used to work as a professional scheme interrupter?
Nope.
True story. It's a sweet gig. What you do is you dress up as either a security guard, a building maintenance superintendent, or in rare cases, a school principal. And then you go around surprising people who are doing inexplicably complicated and illegal things, and you make them sweat and stammer. It's great fun. The most important qualities we look for in the professional scheme interruption business are good hearing, good stamina, a deep sense of skepticism, and above all, an IQ in the single digits. So our model candidate is Adam Baldwin.
All right. Finally with us, Brian. Hey, let's meet at Chuck E. Cheese's Ibbot.
We here at Payless Shoes would like to take a moment to dispel any myths about our inventory and our stores. We understand what you may have learned from the movie Suicide Kings, where a mafia character claims to have spent $85 on a pair of shoes from our store. Let's clear a few things up. Firstly, there is no shoe in the store that costs $85. Our highest priced sensible loafer is $14.95. Secondly, we want to assure you that no members of the mafia purchase footwear at our store. And finally, we'd like to clear up the rumor that anyone shops in our store. That's a myth as well.
Maybe high school, but that was about it for me. Well done, everyone. It's us. We're here. It's Film Sack, and it's the episode about the Suicide Kings, or just, I guess, no. Suicide Kings, not the. There's no the.
Right.
The Virgin Suicide Kings.
Right. There you have it. Dunaway, you were going to say something?
This was a much requested sack, was it not? Is that
yeah.
what I was informed?
Yeah, I feel like we're finally putting an end on like 6 years of people asking us to do this movie.
Can you tell me, okay, I have a question, a very important question before we let Fletcher do his thing. Why are people requesting this
right.
movie?
Exactly.
So one of the, I like to try to put Film Sack movies into categories when I see requests, right? And a lot of times they fall into this general, well, that's just crap category. But this movie actually falls into a was regarded fairly well, but has declined and is now kind of laughably bad category, which is weird. Mm-hmm. Like there's very few films we see that used to have as much cachet and now they've fallen down to, I don't even understand why anybody wants us to watch this.
I'll tell you why. I think it's because movies like this that came out in, let's say, 96 through 98 were all this weird Tarantino thing where everybody wanted to make a Tarantino movie where lots of characters had what felt like crazy dialogue and very strangely comedic yet violent moments and all this sort of like dark comedy thrown into your mobster kind of thing. And nobody did it like Tarantino at all. Like everybody kind of failed miserably. The closest you got were like two hot smoking barrels and two stocks, or whatever the hell that was called, the Guy Ritchie thing.
And a pizza place.
And a pizza place, exactly. But nobody else really came close to that, but they all tried. There was that Jeremy Piven one that had Christian Slater, and I can't remember all who's in that. Very Bad Things, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah, right.
That was another attempt at this with tons of characters, tons of backstory, lots of dialogue with them all in the same room yelling at each other about what horrible thing they'd done. Nobody ever came close to the Tarantino template. And so what I think happens is we go, you know, 10 years, then 20, you know, 15, 20 years later, we look at that and go, no, that was a bad version of that. That wasn't good. It was everybody piling on trying to do it, but nobody did it like Tarantino, no matter how hard they tried. So that's how I felt about this.
I think a lot of people requesting this film liked it at the time, and they still like it. And they kind of want to see us bash it because they know it's not that good.
Well, okay, but you're one of those guys, though, right?
Well, I'm one of those guys who likes this movie or liked it a lot more back in the late 90s. Kind of like it now. And watching it again, it's funny because bought the DVD in 1998 and because we really liked the movie. And I think I haven't seen it since probably initially buying the DVD, right? Probably watched it once, maybe looked at the bonus material, whatever, and then shelved it, and it sat on the shelf and sat on the shelf until this. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, rather than queue up Netflix.
Oh, so you got to see it in the full theatrical release widescreen, unlike the 4x3 crap I had to watch.
Yeah. Oh, really? Is it 4x3 on the on the Netflix?
Yep.
Netflix,
inexplicably, yeah. Because the only thing I can think of, it was like maybe an HBO cut or something, because it's not edited for material, so it's not like it showed up on NBC or something. It's totally 4x3.
Oh, that would drive me nuts. Okay, yeah. So that's an issue. Yeah. You know, I think when we first put this on the list for FilmSack, I even told you this earlier, Scott. I don't know. I probably said it's an okay movie. I don't think it's right for FilmSack, and I think we just kept getting requests and requests for it, and so
here it is. I mean, I have no doubt that we'll all have things to say about it. We will, of course, we will. But
sure, of course.
But it does definitely have that. I mean, to kind of echo what Randy's saying, it has this wrung out feeling of this made sense then and now is it. I mean, I didn't see it then, so I'm coming to it kind of like the way some, I think it was Randy also, who came to Time Bandits, didn't have the love for it that I had or the nostalgia I had for it because I watched it when it was new and it, you know, whatever left this impression. If you don't do that, especially with movies like this, and you've seen, you know, a million great mob movies since, this just seemed like, my biggest problem actually wasn't that the movie's bad per se. I think the acting's great. Some of these characters are great. There's some really funny moments.
Great actors too.
Sure.
I mean, quite a lineup. Yeah.
I'll watch Dennis Leary walk around with Christopher Walken any day. Just sign me up. Right. It's fine. That stuff's great. My problem was it was so convoluted story-wise. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you the freaking plot. I don't know what happened. Like, how many chicks in the bucket were in this movie? Everybody was a chick in the bucket, because by the end of that thing, where'd they all go? Where did Pakalecki go? And where did freaking the dude Elliot from E.T., where'd he end up? I don't know where anyone went.
He ended up at the hospital looking for his sister who would never show up because she kidnapped herself.
Yeah, so he walks out in the hall, puts his head down, and now we're off to the boat.
Yeah, he didn't call the cops.
Right.
Just sat down.
He just said, well, okay, I guess she'll never show up at this hospital. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess everything I've been doing wasn't necessary.
Right, and that's, I guess, my overwhelming feeling at the end was that Boondock Saints, what's his name there, he was obviously pivotal to everything. Like, it turns out he's kind of at the core of it. Mm-hmm. But the entire movie just,
Flannery?
Yeah, and he just sat in the background most of it going, neener, neener, new.
Really,
like, nothing
brooding.
Was going on.
Really brooding. That's it's the most brooding I've seen in a movie in a long time.
Brooding and eating. He ate a lot. He was always in the kitchen.
he's the Brad Pitt of Ocean's 11, basically. Yeah. Wherever he's seen, he's eating something.
Yeah.
So you have to assume then, right? I mean, there's two things you can assume that what takes place between the end of the hospital scene where E.T.'s Elliot, you know, gives up on looking for his sister.
Right.
And the shot on the boat in the finale.
The Snaggletooth lookalike sister, the one you're talking about. The one that looks like, she looks like, what's her name from Spider-Man? I can't think of her name.
Oh, you like got to be kidding
Dunst.
Me.
Kirsten Dunst. Big
Laura, what's her face, is gorgeous.
I'm not saying she's ugly. The Snaggletooth part is reference to Dunst because she has terrible
Dunst.
Teeth.
Oh, yeah. You think she looks like Dunst?
Totally looks like her. Freaked me out at first. I thought, why isn't her name in the credits? And I went, oh, it's because she'd have been like 5 years old.
Better looking Dunst.
Yeah, she was young.
I, I really want to hear freaking Scott Fletcher, because I'm wondering if maybe he can explain the movie.
Well, hold on. Let me finish my thought.
Finish
your
thought.
I was talking about what must have happened. Yeah. One of two things must have happened between the hospital shot and the boat shot, where either Sean Patrick Flannery's character, young Indiana Jones, goes to his friends and said, "Hey guys, it was all a ruse. She's fine. She kidnapped herself. We're good. We're going to go take the boat to Tahiti. We'll see y'all later. Catch you on the flip side."
Yeah.
Or they just run off and disappear. And neither one of those is a terribly satisfying solution to Jay Moore getting shot, to
it's
Elliot
the most...
never finding his sister. I mean, all these things, all these loose ends that...
Yeah. It's such a doubt. Have we ever had a trope alert before, Scott Fletcher?
No, but Give we're me doing one now.
It's such a downer ending. Yeah. This is like, it's like the Pulp Fiction ending, only with less any sort of hope.
Yeah, no, it's not only lack of hope, but it also went like very like seven, like 90s, like stupid credits, like, ooh, false old film effect and jiggly letters. And
I've been trying to think of a better downer ending than this movie, and I'm having a really hard time because... Yeah. Films usually, I mean, I understand there's some films that they make like the gimmick of everybody shoots everybody in the final Mexican standoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is like, this is different. This is like, we're going to slowly tie up the loose ends by just people losing and dying and getting hurt. And
well, I have a theory that this is Dennis Leary's exact same character from The Ref.
The Ref? Yeah. Pretty much.
The Ref. And, love that movie.
And it's Laura Sangiacomo's same character from Pretty Woman.
Yep, pretty much.
Right. Dennis Leary's character from everything.
I think the reason why this ended the way it did is because we were very, during this time, apparently we were very jaded, because they tested some different endings, some alternate endings for this movie during the time where they got away and it wasn't a downer, but the audience didn't like it. They wanted those fools to suffer and die.
I have, and I have details about that, because the DVD, I own the DVD, well, I guess I mentioned I have the DVD.
Right.
We watched all three endings. We watched the regular, obviously the movie, and then we watched the two alternate endings, which actually have director's commentary. And so after Fletcher, I'll tell you about a little bit more about those, because it's not quite what you read about on IMDb and Wikipedia.
Interesting.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Let's first hear Scott Fletcher try to make sense of this film in a short 30 seconds or less.
Suicide Kings. In this cult favorite dark comedy, five privileged men abduct a former mobster in an attempt to raise a ransom to save a friend's sister.
Wow, like 10 seconds or less you could do that in.
See, he can explain that.
I guess so. He boiled down the core. Mm-hmm. There is a core plot here. It's just,
it's nonsensical.
Yeah, what's Jay Moore doing in here? And what's the... Well, you're going to go and bait the number one mobster. Oh, okay. Okay, I want to mention this before I get too late into the show and forget to do it entirely.
Sure.
I don't like I won't call it a trope. I will call it a technique where not that I need a harp and a loop to go back in time to show me something that happened before, but these ideas where you're like talking, hey, so what do you think about blah? And immediately there's just a hard cut to you at dinner with somebody talking about your plan to kill the guy later.
Use a different color palette to shock you into realizing that it's a different time.
Well, especially the 70s one, when that was great. Like,
walking. They do the same thing with Arrow. Whenever he flashes back to his 5 years on whatever freaking island.
I mean, to their credit, it's hard to do. Like, Better Call Saul didn't do it any better. Every time they'd show Jimmy when he was younger, it was like slightly different haircut and exactly the same age. It's like, hold on a minute. Michael McKean still looks 75, yet this is supposed to be 20 years earlier. So I know it's hard, and I know it costs money to do anything better than that, and I get it. But even the stuff that was just a day before or a week later or whatever, they were trying to show these little short time jumps in this movie. It just didn't seem like it was done very well. So I would be going, no, wait, when's this? Okay, there's Raymond's brothers at lunch with fat guy. Okay. They're talking to so-and-so. Okay, when did it... Was this before? Like, I was just annoyed by it.
The problem with the vignettes is, if any of them is really good, you don't like it, because it makes the rest of the movie look even worse.
Yeah.
You know, like, the whole thing with Dennis Leary and his boots, like, stand alone or in a better movie is one thing. But in this movie, you're just going, what are they doing? Why is this movie spending all my time running this bit that looks like it's right out of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And it's also, well, so the
it's Jules and Vincent in the car talking about Royale with cheese. I mean, it's it's very, very Tarantino-esque.
Trying to. That's how I'd put it. And I'm not saying I wasn't entertained by some of this movie. I surely was. When I found, when I heard in the trivia or read in the trivia that Leary ad-libbed everything but one line in the movie, I like that. I like Dennis Leary. He can do his thing. I have no problem with it. He makes me laugh. And like his interactions with his partner dude were genuinely, there were some moments, right? There were some funny stuff. I think Walken's interesting to watch no matter what he does. He was definitely doing an impression of himself this time. Which is always
Walken, fun. You need to give Walken a lot of air. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of sad to me that there were so many people in the room with him at all times that he didn't really get to, you know, like develop a character. Because I like, if they had just cut 2/3 of the characters out of this movie and let Christopher Walken have some more lines, have some more purpose.
I was surprised to see, been a better movie. I was surprised to see Big Bang Theory in there because I thought he was younger back in 97.
Leonard, Ira.
I mean, he was younger. We were all younger in 97, but I thought he was a lot younger. And he's born in like 75. It's weird to think that guy's only like 5 years younger than
This? I'm sorry.
Padalecki.
Johnny Galecki.
Oh, Johnny Galecki. Yeah.
Galecki. I was
Leonard Hofstadter.
Leonard.
Yep.
Big Bang Theory, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the dude looks the same as he does right now on Big Bang Theory.
He really does. Like, he went from Christmas Vacation.
Roseanne.
Right. And then boom, he's an adult and he stayed there. He hasn't moved.
That's pretty much it. Like, basically, there was a time in his life when he looked way older than he was. Then there was a really short time where he looked exactly the right age. And now he's looking
baby younger. Face.
It's right. Baby exactly. Face. Like he's hit pause on his appearance.
It really helps your baby face if you have a higher voice. If you speak up in a higher register, it really delivers that effect.
I really enjoy the idea that he was on my screen. I had the volume up. Nobody's in the room. And he is cussing up a storm. And this probably, by the way, probably our sweariest film sack we've done, by the way.
F-bomb.
So, F-bomb after F-bomb, which is fine. It's going off. And I hear my daughter in the other room yell in here. She goes, Dad. Is that Leonard swearing?
Yeah, it is. You could really have some fun with like a, a supercut or a taking some of Ira's lines and superimposing them over Leonard Hofstadter's lines on Big Bang Theory, that would be a Big Bang Theory clip I'd love to see.
I'd prefer to see the Suicide King's Ira's lines superimposed over Roseanne.
Yeah.
Because he was a worthless character in that show. He really contributed nothing to that show.
I remember nothing about his appearance on Roseanne. I don't remember.
He was dating the blonde daughter, right?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one that looked like a mushroom because her hair was cut like a mushroom head.
The one who was played by both Sarah Chalk and the other one.
That was the joke in the Big Bang Theory because she's on there and they're interacting there.
Yeah. I think you're right now that you say that. Yes.
Oh.
That's right. It was Becky and Sarah. He was dating. Becky was the blonde. Sarah was the brunette.
Okay. Well, that makes that. Now that Big Bang joke makes sense. That season she came on there. Because I was like, why is that so funny? Why is the audience going, woo? And I'm like, I don't get it. Yeah, that show. Don't get me started.
The audience sounds like a cop siren.
Yeah. So here's a fascinating piece of information. The director, Peter O'Fallon. Hey, Peter O'Fallon directing this movie. Mm-hmm. He's mostly a writer. He writes a lot of TV and directs a lot of TV. Has only done 3 movies ever. The other 2 you've never heard of. This one people like, so he's known for this. But it's weird that this is like the one big thing with a bunch of actors that are kind of a big deal that he did. And then the writer is Josh McKinney. It's the first and last thing he ever wrote the screenplay for. Yeah. Co-written by Gina Goldman. It is not the first thing she ever wrote. In fact, she wrote a ton before this. It is the last thing she ever wrote. So it's like this dead end for people. It's
the
weird.
Movie that killed a writer.
Yeah. It's weird. And I know there are people right now going, oh my gosh, they're killing me here. This is like my favorite show from the 90s. I understand, or movie from the 90s. I get it. I know that there are people who are listening who feel that way. But I'm telling you, there's like a weird end of life for some of these writers and directors and
Hold
stuff.
Hold on, though. Really? Favorite?
There are people tweeted me today saying that.
This was my, was something I really liked in the day, but favorite now in 2015?
Well, that's a good point. They maybe haven't seen it in a while. Like, for example, it says Justin Stallone's in Twitter says, while I can't wait for the Punisher to get sacked, I'm really happy to have an excuse to watch Suicide Kings again. Thanks, Film Sack. So I assume he's not being sarcastic.
Right.
I mean, that's, he's not being,
you know, I looked forward to watching Suicide Kings again just to see some of these actors who are on to way bigger and better things now.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Like, you didn't know who, like
Jeremy Sisto, for example. Like, yeah. You know, okay, no
you're
name.
You're talking about
there.
Elton from Clueless.
Yeah.
Right? That's all I know of him. That's it.
That 6 Feet. He's the brother on 6 Feet Under. Had a great role on through the whole 6 Feet Under.
Was great.
Timeline. He was the brother of the very troubled brother of Rachel Griffiths. He's currently on The Return, which is by one of the Lost guys. I think Damon Lindelof on AMC, and it's.
Wait, it's the other guy. I think. It's the other dude.
Oh, is it Carlton Cuse?
Carlton Cuse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Carlton Cuse. Yes.
Lindelof's doing movies, and then The Leftovers. So.
Leftovers is the one he's doing, right? Yeah. It's, and it's funny because it's kind of similar.
I know.
You know,
I feel like they had a little camp out in one of their backyards, and they came to this agreement that they would both do
I'm
the same
I'm going to do
story.
A show where half the people in the world disappear. You do a show where all these dead people come back.
Those are great. And that sounds like something two Lost veterans would do.
And let's make a pact. No polar bears. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, one more pact. We'll have this really great idea, but no idea how we're going to end it. Okay.
Right, we'll just. That's great. Exactly. But so Jeremy Sisto, I really like. I think he's even doing a lot of voiceover work right now. There's a lot of commercials that sound like they're Jeremy Sisto, and I think he's doing voiceover stuff.
Looking through his list, seriously, the only thing I've ever seen him in other than this is Clueless.
Yeah.
That's really? Wow. He's the dad on this Suburgatory, which had a great first season and then really stunk after it came back.
You know, and I did. And when I started watching this movie, I was like, oh, my God, I know that voice. That voice that I'm like, I that's killing me. And it took me a while, and I finally figured it out. He looks totally different. That dude has totally grown up.
And by the way, he's the worst now. He's the worst thing in Clueless because of his voice. He's like a 23-year-old playing a 17-year-old, but his voice sounds 50. Mm-hmm. And it's totally wrong for that movie.
He's the guy. He's also in the maybe you have him wrong. I thought he was in Entourage, no?
No.
No.
Okay, no way.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
You're thinking of somebody else.
Somebody with that dumb look to his face. Who is it I'm thinking of? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Sean Patrick Flannery, things haven't gone great for him since the Boondock days. He's done okay.
Indiana Jones Chronicles, Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Do you think it bugs him at all that that his buddy Norman Reedus is kicking A so much? Because, you know.
There's probably a little bit of jealousy. I didn't realize he was on Dexter for a long time. That's funny. Oh, yeah, that was right. The last season of Dexter, he was.
The terrible one. Right.
Right. He was he kind of figured out Dexter's secret. I guess everybody during every season, somebody figures out Dexter's secret.
Yeah.
Wasn't
that the setup? It was like this season, someone will know about Dexter, and by the end, we'll be killed before they can reveal it.
We'll be killed by Dexter.
Yeah, Dexter will murder them. Except his sister, I guess. I don't know how that went.
In 2011, he was on 54 episodes of The Young and the Restless. And that, like, I always think about it like an actor, and it's their job to be an actor, and they're looking for work. If you're on 3 episodes of The Young and the Restless, you're awesome.
Yeah.
If you're on 300 episodes of The Young and the Restless, you're getting work. But 54 is in this middle ground that's like the Joey Tribbiani area, where I figure you really upset somebody and they killed you off or didn't ask you to come back to work the next day or something. Mm.
Could be. How about this one? A shot, or there was a shot on TV when Brad Garrett and the other guy, Heckle and Jekyll, were in the apartment. It says it's actually, what they were showing on TV is actually a snippet from Reservoir Dogs from 92. It's because the director could only use stock footage from other Artisan Entertainment owned films. So there's a little, there's another Tarantino connection other than them trying to just do it. I like this part about Christopher Walken. He was on The Dead Zone in 83. We all knew that. We need to do that show still, that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. His role was frequently parodied on by Jay Moore, specifically on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And then cast member Sean Patrick Flannery appeared in the television series The Dead Zone in 2002. So full circle,
crazy
everybody.
Connections. Yeah, the Jay Moore bit was hilarious because he was doing the Psychic Friends Network, Celebrity Psychic Friends Network. And he was basically doing the Christopher Walken from The Dead Zone. Your house is on fire. Why isn't anybody calling me? Here's the number again. You know, basically doing that whole thing. We're like trying to get people to call in and do the Psychic Friends. And it was a great, great bit. But poor Jay Moore could only do that one impersonation on Saturday Night Live. He couldn't do anybody else.
No. Right. And he's actually got a few others he can do, but they're not people anyone gives a poop about. Like he does a really good Colin Quinn impression, who was on the show at the same time as him. Oh, but yeah. What's the point of having a good Colin Quinn impression when he's on the show?
Not now.
Should we use Jay Moore as Colin Quinn for this bit, or use Colin Quinn?
Yeah, it's real bad.
I like Jay Moore. Like I'm watching this movie and I'm just thinking, this is when he was trying to be an actor. And I guess it's not necessary. I just don't need Jay Moore to try to be serious and act. I just need him to tell jokes and make me laugh. You know?
No, he's what else would he have been in this era? I guess we had Jerry Maguire,
then, a year before. Small Soldiers, a year after.
Oh, that's right.
He tried to be must-see TV. He tried to follow Friends.
I forgot about that show he had.
Was that Gary Unmarried?
No. He was a Hollywood producer.
Right. Because the Gary Unmarried came way, that fact, that was just a couple later. Years ago, yeah, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
It was actually a fairly good show, and it was called Action.
Action, okay.
He just always plays such a dick.
He does. Oh, yeah. I mean, he cannot play. Oh, how funny. So I always get the movies 200 Cigarettes and Go confused.
Okay. Go is an actually good movie.
Yeah. Well, they both came out in 1999, and they both featured Jay Moore. And his character in one was Zach, and his character in another was Jack.
Nice. Yeah. Zach and Jack.
I recommend Go if you've never seen it. It's a seriously good movie, and it marks the end of the 90s, small Western United States films with awesome soundtracks. The soundtrack is amazing.
Was that the one where they're trying to get to Elvis Costello, or like trying to get to a party that Elvis Costello is going to be at, or was that 200 Cigarettes? Which one had Christina Ricci?
200 Cigarettes.
Okay.
I don't remember Elvis Costello from either of them.
Okay, so the Go you're talking about is 99.
It's Pulp Fiction Jr.
Sarah Pauly, Jane Moore, Scott Wolf. Okay, I remember this movie. It is a good movie. That's a great movie.
It is a good movie. I have that one on DVD too. I was really good at buying DVDs in the late 90s. I have every stupid movie that came out in 1997.
We thought that was it. That was the time, man. That's when you got those things.
I just want to say one
better than this.
Yeah.
One more thing about Go. It is one of the most uninformed movies of all time about drugs.
Oh yeah.
So what you could watch it to laugh at its ridiculous thoughts on drug use. It's so wrong.
That. I don't remember the subtext of that, but I'll have to check. It's been forever, but I remember really liking it in 99. I remember thinking 99 was the greatest year for movies ever at the time. Because they had The Matrix, you had this, you had a whole bunch of other stuff that I just thought was like, oh, we finally reached the movie maximum film. And little did I know that it wouldn't be until 2015 and Mad Max Fury Road would disprove the whole thing. That freaking movie. All right. Anyways.
The 99 was insane.
Yeah.
Like between The Matrix, Toy Story 2, The Sixth Sense, The Mummy was good. I'm sure it hasn't aged well.
Yeah,
I liked it at the time. The Mummy was so good at the time.
Yeah, it was good at the time. It was like Indiana Jones without, because we didn't think we'd ever get an Indiana Jones again, and that seemed like a good, a decent stand-in. Then the sequels came, and we all realized we were horribly wrong.
So y'all were saying that The Mummy was good? Is that what you're saying?
The Mummy was good.
I'm just getting it on record.
At the time, it was good.
Okay. Yeah. Brandon Fraser, The Mummy.
Yeah.
And The Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. And you got to understand, it came out a month after The Matrix, and The Matrix had blown up the theater. And so everybody poured back in a month later to watch The Mummy with this glee about big movies.
Wait, The Rock wasn't in that one, though.
Oh, wasn't in that one?
No.
That was two.
Don't know. Everything past that sucks. Let's make sure that's clear. The first Mummy, though, great. Good fun. Probably even fun now. You know what? Great movie for us to do if we can get it streaming somewhere.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
Should totally do The Mummy. It's got What's-Her-Name in it. She's hot.
She's hot.
Mm-hmm. The one who's married to Liam Neeson. Or not Liam Neeson.
Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz.
Yeah. Who's she married to?
Yeah.
She's married to somebody reclusive. Actor.
Daniel Craig. Not reclusive at all.
He's reclusive. He doesn't want to do like interviews and stuff.
He doesn't host Saturday Night Live, but no. I would call him reclusive.
No, but the reason I say that is he got angry at an interview once because it was like during a press junket for one of the James Bond films, and they asked about Rachel Weisz and how the two of them met and that sort of thing. No, no, we're just talking about the movie, and like got really defensive. Nice. And
yeah, he doesn't like that stuff. And I would say that if it's a sign that the guy who plays James Bond in any given era won't be on SNL, I think that is a sign of reclusiveness.
Yeah, and can we tie all of these subjects back together?
Yeah,
sure.
Was there a moment for you, Scott, during Mad Max Fury Road when you thought once again, I want this guy to be James Bond?
Yeah. Then I also wanted him to be Indiana Jones, and I wanted him to be
Chris Pratt.
I wanted him to be Chris Pratt. Yeah, basically. I have a giant, and have since Nemesis, to be honest, and Star Trek Nemesis, had a giant crush on Tom Hardy, as man crushes go. But this isn't going to be the review show for that movie because we don't want to spoil anything for Brian Ibbett, who's about to go see it here in a minute, and I don't think Dunaway's seen it yet. Nope. I just will say this. It might be the most exciting thing on film I've seen in 10 years.
Wow.
And I mean it. And I'm excited about everything. Like, I haven't forgotten about what Marvel did. I haven't forgotten about any of that. But this is something apart. This is something really, really different. And really, they show you things you've never seen. That's all I'm saying.
It's a film that you have to endure. I'm not saying that it's like Breathless, although it is. It's 2 hours of breathlessness, but it doesn't like hurt you as a viewer. It just constantly assaults your senses.
Yeah.
And to a point where you start to feel like, gosh, if there was an intermission in the middle of this, I might not be like sweating and shaking and freaking out.
I loved it. I loved every cotton picking second of it. I cannot wait for that to be in my hands as a home thing that I can watch anytime I want. Cool. Anyway, so Christopher Walken. Oh, yeah. That's this movie we're talking about. Got 90s ass intro. I thought that was super 90s. I kind of miss the days when everyone thought they were being cool and making like scratchy intros.
The scratchy film stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny. We watched this with my with Crazy Neighbors. Big mistake. Never. If I want to watch a movie, because halfway through it, you know, she's like, oh, my God, that reminds me about the time I watched E.T. and I was crying. It's like, hey, we could probably talk about that afterwards. You know, every single thing, they want to just bring up all these stories. They have no patience for movies.
I love that.
And they insisted on watching, oh, you got to watch this film? So we'll watch it with you.
Yeah.
And you'd think I'd learn.
Yeah,
I never
learned. Did you? I mean, since you owned it and had seen it a bunch and liked it, you probably got what you needed.
It was probably one of the only movies I could do this with, right? Is that, you know, is something I'd seen a few times before and owned and I could always kind of go back to.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the alternate endings, because this movie does have some alternate endings.
Oh yeah, I've only ever seen obviously what we saw in the Netflix one. What have I been missing?
So basically the two endings do allow Laura Harris, Elise, and Max to get away. In the first one, and it's basically they shot the endings exactly, you know, like you saw the other endings. As a matter of fact, I think they actually use some of the images, like what's his face, Dennis Leary, pointing the gun at the two of them from one of the other endings where he's kind of doing it jokingly. Mm. And they zoom in on him really close and really tight and then zoom in on the other two. So the first ending, and it was the one they first showed to test audiences, basically he just lets them go. He says, you know, young love is, and he, you know, takes the money back and Elise says, well, can we have some money where we have nothing out here? We just have the boat. And he says, I, you know, feel sorry for you because I love women, blah, blah, blah. And gives them $20,000. And then he and Dennis Leary hop off the boat right before Dennis Leary kind of points the gun and kind of menacing, hangs there for a few seconds, and they get off the boat. All right. The second ending is similar. They show up. He takes the money. He doesn't give them anything. And as they're getting off the boat, Dennis Leary shoots a bunch of holes in the bottom and says, nice boat, too bad it leaks, and shoots holes in the bottom of the boat so that it starts sinking, and then they have to swim off. And
that's how they ended it?
That's
literally one of the endings?
Literally one of the endings. And it's actually, I kind of like that ending.
I like that.
It does give them, it doesn't kill them, but it does, you know, say, all right, great, you're stuck wherever you're at in this vacation paradise.
I can see why the ending we got is the ending we got, because for starters, it shows them kissing and it doesn't actually show them getting shot. You don't know what gets shot.
Right.
And for second of all, and this is probably more important, if you cut off a gangster's finger, he is not going to ever let you go.
Right. You're not going to. Right.
But this was the late 90s. This is when we figured out, hey, you can put an appendage on ice and we can sew it back on later. That was a thing that
so
we
they
discovered.
Had the, so the director, Peter O'Fallon, basically does a commentary throughout all both of the endings, and he talks about how, you know, this is the first one we shot and da-da-da-da. And then he talks about the test audiences and says, so we found that test audiences, you know, preferred this third ending, which is the one I prefer and the one they ended up using, where it's implied that the two of them get shot. Right. However, he says that was almost all under 25-year-olds wanted that ending. I guess they have, and he says, I guess they just have a good life and they've never seen any drama. And so they just wanted this. He says predominantly above 25, 26 and over love the kind of getaway ending, even if it was the getaway ending or the getaway and have the whole shot in the boat ending. But he said that primarily they decided on the third ending because it was under 25-year-olds.
Yeah, we were jaded, like, man.
We were nihilists. Yeah,
exactly.
These two shouldn't get away. You cut off a guy's finger and held him kidnapped, and they're privileged and rich and blah blah.
Yeah, but that's where they dropped the Tarantino ball, because the Tarantino ball, if they'd have gone with that ending, would have been a very quick, violent but tastefully done shots to the head down.
Poetic.
Instead, this was like, let's make the film slow-mo, and let's have lots of saturated, weird sunset colors in their eyes when we do it. And
another Tarantino ending might have been Jay Moore and Christopher Walken accidentally killing themselves right in front of the others, you know, and then they get away that because of that.
Yep. And then what's his name? Bad Lieutenant would show up with a bag and a chemical thing in the other hand and go, all right, someone call a cleaner, and then that's the end of your movie. Cut credits.
But it's funny because, you know, after seeing the first two endings of the real ending and then the first alternate, we were saying, all right, well, so in one ending, he kills both of them. In the second ending, he kills neither of them. So we're all saying, so I guess in the third ending, he must kill one of them. That kind of sounds cool. Like, all right, you know, you really punish the other one whose idea it was by killing, at least says it was her idea. So you kill Max, and then you've ended one person's life who was part of the kidnapping and finger cutting off. But then you've also mortally wounded, emotionally wounded the character whose idea this whole thing was. And she has to live with that. And I think that would have been a more powerful ending. That I think would have made this movie stand up a little bit longer.
I agree.
And so then they just have to go back through every other scene in the film and fix that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're right. Cause it's all weirdly too many other weird connected tissue. Even though it sometimes feels like they're not connecting at all.
Oh, no. She says she's the person who came up with the idea.
Did she say that?
Yeah. She fesses up.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah. At the very end, he asks Elise, you know, was this all your idea? And she says, yes. And there's even one of the alternate endings even includes a little bit more that takes place with the Goombas in the diner when.
Can you say that? Can you?
Yeah. Cause they call them Goombas.
Which is the director, in the show.
The director calls them. The director calls them the Goombas. They also call them Heckle and Jekyll.
Oh, nice.
So they're credited as, but basically says, you know, she comes up and she says, I have an idea. Let's bump it up to 2 million and split it with you.
Wow. All right. It's all, you know, on her.
The trope that hit me first.
Right in the face.
The stupid movie. Yeah. Is the truck in the tunnel that continued to get faster and faster. Even though he's blowing the horn.
I can hit the horn, but I can't hit the brake.
No, that whole thing, dude. Like the whole, them getting through the tunnel and him barely missing everybody and them getting blood everywhere and trying to tape him down and then going kind of basically the wrong side of the road the entire time in that tunnel and then just have that all work out in the end without any repercussions and nobody came to figure out why there's an 18-car pileup at the end of that tunnel. Come on.
Right.
I didn't buy any of that.
That was a little too far. Yeah. Now, I did it. I also wanted to wonder, I was questioning where they got the brown bottle of chloroform and why they needed a whole bottle. I didn't understand any of
and
that.
And why they didn't fill the syringe beforehand.
Right.
Instead of trying to do it in a moving car.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they were trying to show what chuckleheads they were. I don't know.
Right.
How
inexperienced they were.
I mean, I got to admit, the early part where they're all talking to him at the bar in the hotel and they kept flashing back to when they were planning it out with a sex doll for some reason.
Rooftop tennis court.
That stuff got kind of tense. And I liked some of that, where that was going. I kind of got excited. I'm like, all right, cool. This is making me very uncomfortable about where they're going to go and what's going to happen to him. And then it just turned into the ref. I mean, it really was kind of like the ref for that middle act. And not that that's bad in the ref's case. I think the ref is amazing. I just don't think it worked as well here. And then when it all ended to for the final bit, it was just like, eh, we're out. I'm pretty sure Walken got his hair colored. It looks a little darker than it was when he was tied up. And now they're on the, you know, revenge rampage. And I don't know. For me, that just, it felt like three different movies, none of which were all that great. That's how it felt. Three separate films with different plots.
The one about where, which was just Dennis Leary making his way across town. And and his, admittedly, his flashback setup scene was insane. It was so weird, and there was no good rhyme or reason for it. It was just supposed to establish that he had a heart of gold and would beat your ass with a toaster.
You mean the, I was going to say the toaster scene is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, like,
that was a good scene.
But overall, if I could just have all of Dennis Leary's scenes could put into a separate film, I think it would be okay.
Yeah, Dennis, call it Larry and the Busket, and that whole thing. The Busket part was
I've never heard of a Busket. That was entertaining to me.
Yeah. That was such they played it as if that was like something you might hear from somebody, but I don't even think
exactly.
The most
it's the only
on
place
the
you'll ever hear the word Busket.
Yeah, Busket. What's that? It's my Busket. A Busket? Like, I think I captured some of that. We'll get to that later and stuff. Here's a couple of tropes I had. White gangster movies have no black people in them. There is not a single person of color in this entire film. Like, nowhere.
There were almost no women. I was just blown away at how white boy this movie was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not even like extras. I looked, I watched. I was like on the on the street scenes with the Busket guy, and
the
I
only
went,
time they showed women was in the strip club.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot they had those there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no black people. No Hispanic people. No people.
And you gotta give a filmmaker credit. If you already don't have any black people in your movie, when you go to film the Busket scene, don't make that the only black guy in the movie.
True story.
So that's okay.
Hey, what's up today? What's on the docket for today? We got the Busket scene. All right, really? Don't get a black guy to do it.
Yeah. Whatever you do, we've made a horrible mistake. Right. So what should we do? Yeah. We'll get this white guy over here some a Baby Ruth to eat, and he'll have a little bit of chocolate on a tooth, and it'll be good to go.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
That was disgusting. I
a little bit of chocolate? A little bit? It was disgusting. A ton.
By the way, easily the most underused actor in this particular film, somebody I always like to see in weird roles and has crazy teeth, that's Sean Whalen, who plays the Widowmaker. He's the dealer at the casino.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's this is weird. I went to look him up. He is kind of really old, and you'd never know it. That guy does not age. I don't know what's up with that dude, but he's in everything you've ever seen, pretty much.
Yeah.
And always good to see him.
He's great in this, too.
Yeah.
This movie made me decide that the most underrated actor in the world in terms of wealth has got to be Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
I will bet you after 200-plus episodes of a major television show and after several Pixar movies, et cetera, he's got 125 credits on IMDb. I'll bet he's worth $500 million.
Wait, what other... Was he in something other than Finding Nemo?
Movies or TV?
No, Pixar movies.
He was in Ratatouille. He was in Pocahontas.
Oh, right.
The guy is, I bet he's just rolling in money.
Well, he just is Raymond money is probably enough to put any of us, set us up for life. But yeah, he's got lots of other cool stuff. I don't know. He's an interesting guy because he has like the worst comedy club in Vegas. It's like this little hole in the wall that nobody knows about.
It's like where you get to the monorail at the MGM.
Yeah.
Trip over the comedy club.
And when you're the top billing, but you're never performing at your own club and everyone who's there you've never heard of, it's just weird. Right. So for him to then also, like you're saying, just show up in everything is kind of crazy. It's kind of great.
I've seen him twice. I've seen him do stand-up twice. And that's one of the best compliments you can give a stand-up, that you went to see him again a few years later.
Yeah,
right. He's very funny.
Is he good on stage? Oh, that's interesting.
Really funny.
Never saw. He's probably got a special or something I could catch somewhere. Yeah.
His Herman Munster was always the thing that killed me.
He did a Herman Munster?
Oh, yeah.
It's like back dead on day. For him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, was there a new Munsters I missed?
No. He just did. That's what he used to do in his routine.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant
he played one like a
reboot or something. If they do one, they'll get him in there. Who was the guy that did it, though, the first time? What's his name?
Gwynn.
Fred Gwynn.
Fred Gwynn.
Oh. Yeah. Fred Gwynn. Sometimes dead is better.
Oh, my gosh. That was great. The let's see. Oh, so I say. Oh, okay. So here are your here's your chicks in the bucket. They tie up. They tie him up. Big Bang Theory comes in, yells and throws things. Jay Moore rolls around. A bunch of stuff. Whatever. Brandishing a gun. Everybody's pointing guns at each other, blaming each other. And then everybody except for Walken, briefly hospital Elliot, and then John Patrick Flannery. Everybody else just poof. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're just not there anymore.
Well, he told him to get lost. He told him to go become invisible. So they did.
Right. Is that what happened there?
It's also true of all the flashback scenes. All the old time scenes just leave bunches of characters just hanging.
Yeah.
Which I guess you kind of have to do with flashbacks, but you don't have to. You can always flash back to characters that you have in the modern time. You know.
Walking in the 70s clothes with a weird mullet doing disco. That was amazing. That was a hell of a scene.
Felt like Naked Gun for some reason.
Totally did.
It was long hair in the urinal.
Any other
long
thoughts?
Hair in the urinal.
Any other thoughts before we move on? Do you guys have anything else before we do clips? Anything else?
Oh, geez. I honestly, when I started watching this movie, I really could recall nothing about it. But when I do my show notes, I always pull up Wikipedia and IMDb while I'm watching.
Yeah.
And I was reading a little bit, and the first thing it says while I'm watching Suicide Kings is it's an American action comedy film. And I was like, action comedy? And I never saw it. The whole time I was watching, I was like, I'm not amused.
No, it's
there's
not
practically no action. It's all arguing.
Yeah.
Right.
And the comedy is non-existent.
No, the comedy is a very few moments. I don't think it's enough to categorize it as a comedy / anything.
No.
Like, I read was, it's the cult dark comedy classic. And I go, dark a little, I suppose. Cult,
certainly
maybe.
Wouldn't call it a classic.
I wouldn't call it a classic and definitely not a comedy.
What movie came to mind while you were watching it? What other films?
Very Bad Things.
Okay.
Seven Bags and a Dead Guy. What's that called?
Duffel Bag.
Yeah, that one. They did a bunch of these. I'm telling you, it's part of that pedigree. It's all this post-Tarantino stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they all reminded me of each other.
Very 90s. Very 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that did bother me that I kept thinking was some of the set design stuff. I was like, okay, this is supposed to be rich boys' house. And there was a couple of scenes I was like, why would they have... Was that part of the rich boy thing back in the 90s?
Well,
it
was his parents' house, right?
Padalecki, right, right. Padalecki's and their fridge magnets. Did you see their fridge magnets?
No.
I was like... Those were horrible.
No, really? I totally missed
rich fridge people
magnets.
Would not have fridge magnets like that. They were little plastic crappy things. I'm like,
oh, yeah. I remember.
I don't remember that at all.
I thought that was like a sign that they weren't rich.
Mm.
Right. That's what I was kind of trying to figure out. I was trying to figure out if they were recently rich, if they were new money, if that was supposed to be something. I was looking way too deep, people.
Yeah, way too deep.
Yeah, did not even catch that. No, I thought the whole thing with Johnny Galecki's little freak out, I no matter how bad things were for him, I still can't imagine him picking up all these valuable objects and throwing them randomly around the house as kind of like a...
When he had his F-bomb
right.
fit.
We need you to freak out, Ira. Okay, I'll just pick up the things that I've been, you know, all type A about, and that'll be really funny for the audience. It just felt out of character.
It
for
was
me.
Weird, and I liked, generally, I liked his role. Like, I think he mm-hmm. played a good thing, which is this kind of nebbish, rich kid, you know, nervous, what are you doing mm-hmm. here?
Right.
Self-absorbed guy. Did great. That was fine, but yeah, that throwing stuff around was dumb.
He's basically the another tie to Pulp Fiction. He's the Rosanna Arquette character. Like, oh, you can't bring her body in here. No, we're not going to do this here. What are you doing? This is our house.
Yeah. Right. I forgot about her in that.
Oh, well, what's the guy's name? The actor?
Hold on.
Mask.
John Travolta says the guy, the one with all the shit in his face.
Right.
It's the guy who played Mask, isn't it? It's
well, not Mask. Yeah. The guy played Mask. Oh my gosh, Some Kind of Wonderful. What's going on here?
Yes.
Now I got to find it. Some Kind of Wonderful. Here it is, Eric Stoltz. Jeez.
Eric Stoltz, yeah.
Jeez.
Eating his fruit brood on the bed.
Freaking Caprica Man, we call him. Caprica Man. Sorry, go ahead.
The movies that kept coming up for me were weird, not really that related to this. Like Johnny Galecki's parents' vacation home and the way he was talking about it kept making me think of Dirty Dancing for some reason. Mm-hmm. And the something about the vibe of the movie kept recalling Fight Club for me, but I don't know why. It's not as good as those movies.
No.
Same era though. Roughly.
I'd go with something like, there are bits and pieces. I'll talk about two movies in my Twitter post, but Big Lebowski a little bit with the fake kidnapping to raise some ransom money kind of thing.
Oh, right.
Right.
Obviously Tarantino stuff. What else? There was something else that was like, what were some of those bumbling criminal movies from the 90s? There was one with Judge Reinhold and the Bette Midler, Danny DeVito, Judge Reinhold thing.
Yeah, that whole
Horrible People.
Is that Horrible it? People? Horrible it? People. That's it.
Was it Horrible it? People?
Something like
sound
that.
Right.
Horrible persons. Peoples.
Horrible persons.
It was
horrible.
What was it? Was
intolerable,
horrible
cruel people. It was
horrible
people. Horrible. No, I don't know what that's called. What's that called?
It is. I'm finding it. It is.
Judge Reinhold.
I think it was. No, that was a TV series.
It
horrible.
Is.
I thought it was called that too. That seems right. It could be something close to
it's
that.
Something like that.
Mid-90s.
Terrible Santa people. Santa Claus, Runaway Car, Family Plan, Homegrown, Floating Away, Vision.
Well, we have like totally forgotten everything from the 90s, haven't we? It's just like it's all flying out of our heads.
Well, I'll tell you what I did forget about the 90s. I thought everybody kind of had normal looking hair and clothes up till recently.
Yeah.
It's just now starting to hit me how weird things are looking real weird in 90s movies. And I mean late 90s movies. It used to be like, this stuff holds up. But
Flock of Seagulls hair or the reverse mullet with what's his name on the tennis court. Yeah, that was all in his face.
Way too much in his face. Way too short in the back. It was all party in the back, business in the back, party
always,
in the front.
It's always like that, Scott. It's always like that.
I know,
like,
but it's so
20 years from now, the people with 20 years from now, the people with the shaved sides of their head are going to look at old pictures and go, what?
Yeah, no, you're right. They will. And I guess this one snuck up on me because it was, for me, the 70s was so easy to see the difference between the 80s. Like the 80s came along, I was living it, and I'd look at the 70s and go, what the hell were you guys doing? That was just 10 years ago. And then the 90s were like, oh yeah, I can see why the 80s is goofy with all the hair and everything. Something about the 90s felt like it lasted longer. Mm. Like the look held up longer or was less obviously bad or different, I guess. For longer, and it's really only been like the last couple of years. I'll see a video from like 1996, like an old news footage thing, and go, are you sure this isn't from like 82 or something? Like, what? This
right,
looks
right.
wrong.
The 80s definitely bled over into the early 90s. There's a lot of confusion in there.
Yeah, but late 90s totally look like crap now, and they didn't, like 6 weeks ago, ask me the question. I'm not sure how to answer it that way. It's weird. It's just now hitting me. Anyway.
Right.
Let's do some clips. We have some.
Clips.
Here are some. Here is one. Here's Jay Moore talking. Okay, so Jay Moore. Tell me if this isn't Jay Moore ass Moore right here, okay?
Fucking call it off, man. It's cold. We're freezing our asses off. Let's get out of here and get loaded.
Hey, man. Let's get out of here.
It's totally Bob Sugar or whatever his name was from Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, they hired they knew who they hired when they hired him. Here's one.
You're our hostage, Charlie.
Another one of him. Just short and sweet. How about this one? What does Elliot need to say?
Mr. Barrett, we need your help. My sister Elise has been kidnapped. The kidnappers demanded $2 million ransom. Now, my father has money, but it's all on paper. He went to the cops. It's a big mistake.
So what does that mean? All on paper? There's no liquidity, is that
there
what it means?
There you go. No. It's mm-hmm. all on paper. He can't go to the ATM and get any money.
No liquid assets. Okay.
Yeah, it's no good.
Well, you got a house there. Oh, no, that wasn't his house.
It wasn't his house. But
that was somebody else's. But whatever. I don't buy
my
it.
My parents suggested, my mom and dad suggested that I, kidnap a gangster to help out with this.
Yeah.
They're strapped.
Yeah. I think Scott and I need to just get over the fact that they couldn't come up with a better plot.
Yeah, right. Probably. Right. Well, they could have. They just didn't.
They didn't. Yeah. They really, no one stopped and thought, our audience is going to be really confused by this convoluted mess.
Yeah. I think people were sold on the tone and the, I don't know, something about it that wasn't plot. I think that's what stuck with people, because now that sticks out bad. Here's Walken doing his thing.
Get out of this now.
Ooh, dude.
Mm-hmm. Love the deep gravelly Walken voice.
Doesn't do it very often though.
No.
So when he does, it's special.
It's great when he does the high stuff and then ends with the
Yeah. Starts high, ends low.
And then ends with a gravelly thing.
I like that too.
You know, I had a woman and she got killed.
Ooh, it just turned dark in here.
You do a hell of a walking. It's crazy.
I mean, no. Does a walking. Yeah.
This no. Sure sounds like something Dennis Leary would say.
Sure, she used to have nipples that would stand up and whistle Dixie, but then again, at one point, dinosaurs used to roam the earth. I have three pairs of shoes. I got my white Nikes.
I love the white Nikes.
Okay, I've had those for what, 6, 7 years, right?
Forget
things
about.
Are almost worn out. I got my Bruno Magnus. I can't wear those anymore because of the f***ing OJ thing, right? And so I go out and I buy these boots. Look at these.
Nice. Huh? Nice f***ing boots.
You know what those are?
What?
Stingray.
Dude, I love him just going off.
Yeah. The fact that is all improv makes me love his character even more and his role in this. And it's too bad it couldn't have been 60% Dennis Leary, 40% the kids in the house.
Yeah. I'm just going to go watch The Ref. Seriously, that'll make this all go away.
You know, I've never seen The Ref.
Oh, you should.
It's pretty. I remember it being good.
Yeah, maybe it's been a while, so who knows now, right? Yeah, but it's Kevin Spacey. And who's the lady? Is it not Annette Bening?
Kevin Spacey, the lady.
No, it's a woman who hasn't done anything.
She was great, though.
She was really good. She's like an older Lauren Holly, but her name isn't Lauren Holly.
No, I know what you mean.
She looks like,
but she's just like Lauren Holly. Her name's not
Judy Davis.
Oh, Judy Davis. That's it.
Judy Davis.
She was great. He was great. They were all great. And there's that when he walks in, it's a Christmas movie. When he breaks into their house, walks over by the nativity scene, sees the nativity scene, and notices the whole thing's made out of chocolate. He takes a bite out of the Jesus, the little Christ child shaped one, and it's stale and old. And he is the dumbest joke, but he takes a bite and he goes, Jesus. And I thought that was the funniest damn thing. Anyway, what?
I just want to say, over the years, I've gotten my feet on pretty much every kind of exotic boot leather that there is, and I don't understand eel, or what it was, his shark,
stingray,
whatever, fish. Fish does not make good lowers for boots. I don't know why
if you got to worry about getting them wet.
Right. Why? That was the dumbest thing in the movie. I don't think he was thinking when he ad-libbed that, because it makes no sense. Like, he stepped in mud, so it's freaking eel skin boots or whatever. Stingray boots.
I thought he spit on him. I thought it was something more than just stepping in. I thought something else was going on there.
He stepped in a puddle.
Yeah, but he called it pee or something, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought he spit on him or something. Or he spilt the bucket. What is it?
The busket.
And by the way, if you're out there and you're about to pull a trigger on a pair of exotics, let me give you a recommendation. The best I've ever owned, still my go-to cowboy boots right now. I'm looking at them in my closet. Full quill ostrich.
Yeah. Do you have to Vaseline yourself up like what's his name to get in him? What was that movie? Striptease with
Bruce or Burt Reynolds.
Wasn't that the deal he covered himself in? Oh,
yes, in Vaseline.
That was great.
Just him and his snakes or ostrich boots, right?
Well, here's your big
ostrich boots. Stay away from the fish.
All right. So here's your big boot theory. Big boot theory. Big bang theory. Big bang theory. Here you go.
That is not poker. Why is this man here? Why is he taped to my father's favorite chair? Who the hell is he? Oh, shit. And who trekked mud into the house? You guys got your shoes on. You know the rules. Everyone's shoes off right now. Parents just had these floors refinished. I mean, come on. You guys are killing me here.
Oh, no.
I love how he blew past the horrible crime going on and got right into the cleanliness.
Yeah.
Not enough whining in movies today. Who's our whiner actor today?
Boy, that's who's doing it like so much that it feels obvious?
Right. Who is really whining it up right now?
Actor wise?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Character, anything. I haven't seen a lot of, we used to do a lot more of it, even in Star Wars. Luke was such a whiner.
Casey Affleck is kind of a whiner. Affleck, not Affleck.
Affleck.
I can see that.
Who's another one? Let's see. Hold on here. This is a good question. Why is nothing jumping to my mind here?
I just don't think we do it as much as we used to.
I don't know. Maybe I can't think of anyone else. I guess you're right. I guess we don't. Maybe it sucked and we shouldn't have been doing it.
It was Christian Bale, right?
He doesn't really whine on screen though, does he?
No, he just whines in outtakes.
Yeah. I guess he whines on set, but not on screen. I can't think of anybody. Mm. Honestly.
Well, I'm sure somebody knows out there. I'm
somebody,
sure
yeah, this is a fun. This is a fun one.
Back in the 80s and 90s, there were lots of these young men who were actors, and they played these roles where all they did was whine.
They're like, eh. I feel like I've seen something recently, though. Oh, yeah, there's dudes on this new show, Wild. Oh, what's it called? It's on. It's a British show, and it was converted to an American. They made an American pilot. It aired on Amazon's pilot program, and it got picked up for a full season. It's got Steve Zahn, Michael Imperioli from the Sopranos, a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about the
Mad Dogs.
Okay,
really good, by the way, freaking really good. But there's somebody super whiny on that, and I couldn't tell you who it is. So long path to nothing there.
You gotta recognize that Big Bang Theory has sucked up every whiner in Hollywood. Single character on that show.
It's totally true. That's dead on.
Right.
I think that's why I don't like it. There's a lot of whining going on. Not so much a fan of that show. I've had a love hate with it in the past, and now I'm kind of just off. I don't care about it.
Wow, no kidding. Just about everybody on that show whines.
Yeah. All of them.
Oh, all the time.
Who doesn't whine on there? Name a character who doesn't whine. Here's the opposite trick. Nobody.
The guy who can't pronounce his R's. Barry Kripke.
Barry Kripke, yeah.
Okay, you're right.
He's about the only one, though.
He's the trope of the badass nerd, the nerd who wants to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Right.
I recently said that I was disappointed in Hulu Plus spending a lot of money to get Seinfeld. You know, like it just.
But yeah.
I want him to leave Seinfeld alone. I don't want to watch Seinfeld. And the reason I don't want to watch Seinfeld is because it's a show about liars lying all the time. It's all they ever do is lie.
Oh yeah, it's totally a bunch of liars.
That's comedy.
Yeah, but I agree. I'm very interested.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I want
more horrible people than liars on that show.
That's true. Yeah. I would watch Seinfeld right now if it was on Netflix. I just don't want to go near Hulu with a 400 foot stick. Right. So.
But Big Bang Theory is to whining as Seinfeld is to lying.
Well, I stumbled upon ScreenJunkies.com. They have a 9 whiniest characters in film history. Number 6 is Ira from Suicide Kings.
Oh, wow.
No way, dude. Jeez.
Right there in the top 10.
That's great. Right there. See, we were on to something.
There's a link to that.
Brian, I'll bet in that link, I guess we could look, but I'll bet you there's a huge portion of those are in the early 90s, I'll bet you.
Right.
Yeah.
Jack from Fight Club. Oh, Adrian from Rocky. Oh, my God. Yeah, she wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
Rocky.
Let's see. Next page. George McFly from Back to the Future. Page. Number 2, Raymond Babbitt from Rain Man. come on. He had a condition.
C-3PO is number 7.
Number 1 is Vern from Stand By Me.
There you go.
Okay. That was his job. He was the kid that whined the whole movie. Yeah.
Wasn't he played by the Sliders guy?
Yeah.
That's when he was all fat.
Right.
He was all fat back then.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yes. Not to be confused with his brother, twin brother, whatever O'Connell. All right.
Jerry O'Connell, who is married to Rebecca Romijn.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I just like the way that sounds. Jerry O'Connell, Rebecca Romijn.
Did they have I wonder how those conversations go when you're a famous couple and you move from Stamos to O'Connell, and what's that like? And you got Mystique in the middle, man. I wrote this, called it the 3PS. I don't know what that is.
You said poker, you know, beer, pornos, pot, poker.
Oh, the 3 P's. Yeah.
Pornos, beer, pot, and pornos, poker.
I know what it was. The file name wouldn't let me make an apostrophe in there. That's what it was. The 3 P's. There you go.
The 3 P's.
Here's a thing that Walken said, and I can't decipher it. I always like these in movies where I don't know what the hell he said, okay. So you guys can help me. So here you go.
I don't look at that.
What do you say?
I don't look at that.
I don't look at that.
What is that, though? I don't look at that?
I don't look at that.
What is he saying?
Couldn't you have given us some more context?
I don't. It's when he was tied up, and that's all I could tell you.
It's when he was tied up. Oh, okay. Oh, that scene.
Try it one more time. Listen one more time.
I don't look at that.
I don't look at that.
Yeah. I don't know, dude.
I don't know. He did a lot of growling about the fact that they pulled his finger off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just couldn't get it. I'd listened to that over and over, and I couldn't get it. All right,
was it him not wanting to look at his finger in the ice?
Oh,
I don't think so. He was pretty on to that. He
I don't look at that.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
Were they showing him this movie?
I don't know. Right. I don't want to look at that. Would you like to see dailies, Mr. Walken? I don't look at that.
Holy shit.
Whoops, right. New one. All right, how about this one? Here's a finger.
Holy shit. You cut his f-ing finger off.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Your beeping is on fleek, man. Yeah. It is like perfect. The perfect amount of beeping.
I've got a new method, and it's easy for me to see on the waveform exactly where it starts and right where it ends.
Holy shit! You cut his f-ing finger off.
That is amazing. I want that supercut now of Johnny Galecki's cursing in this movie.
Yeah, really
you bleep it all.
Here's someone. What? All right.
Someone's still got to hold it.
Oh, he's talking about his wiener.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then Walken said this.
Guys, it's my dick. I pick.
There you go. What? What does that even mean?
He's the one who's going to get held in the bathroom. He's going to choose who does the hold.
He gets to choose who holds it.
Oh, yeah. It's a weird. Wait.
Guys, it's my dick. I pick.
Oh, meaning right. It's my dick. I right. pick.
Okay. There should be a period. He can't say it's my dick, period.
Yeah, Walken has this really awesome dyslexia where when he looks at a script, he doesn't see punctuation.
Right. That is hilarious.
He just adds his own wherever he wants it.
That's totally, you're right. It's his affectation. He just put it in there. All right, here's the busket. Okay, here you go.
I got a busket. Give me a dollar.
A busket? Give me the busket.
No. No.
No, my busket.
Could you just hear the glee in Dennis Leary's voice as he realized he had a word to key on this whole scene?
Give me the busket. In fact, it makes me wonder if that was an accident and they just ran with it. It's possible.
No, I doubt it.
You don't think so? You think that guy didn't make it up?
I'd like to think that that's possible. No, I'm trying to see who the actor is who played that dude, because it sounds like, and it looked a little bit like somebody we'd seen before, Barry Sherman, Barry Del Sherman.
He's did look
American Beauty, There Will Be Blood. Independence Day.
Drink your milkshake.
Scott, was that all of that scene that you clipped?
That's well, let's find out if this one's different. Maybe. Hold on.
You get your new daddy another beer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
So because I'm gonna contend that the busket scene was like the most Dennis Leary thing that's ever happened. Like it perfectly encapsulates Dennis Leary in film.
Yeah, I think so. They were they bought a bill of goods with him, and they got exactly what you get with him.
And the idea that a character would pay $500 to someone just to yell at him, like that's all he paid him for was just to complain.
Hey, if you had a scab on your wiener, this is what you'd say.
Guys, it's my dick. I pick.
There you go. Think about that. Think about
if
that.
You pick, it'll never heal.
It'll never heal.
You get your new daddy another beer.
I don't like that guy at all. All right, how about this one? Oh, it's going off. It's going off.
Don't touch these f***ing buttons. What did I tell you?
Sorry, Lon.
Charlie likes the car set a certain way.
Want me to
fix it? No, I'll fix it. Yeah, keep your f***ing hands to yourself.
Sorry.
Still Leary, dude. I love him. Yeah. He's great. What's that show he's doing now on, is it Netflix?
Not Rescue. Oh, yeah. Like not Rescue Me's Over, right?
Yeah, it's the other new one he's producing. He's not in it, but it has his style all over it. It's about cops again. It's kind of like Rescue Me, but it's about cops. Anyway, I saw an episode.
Sirens?
I really like Sirens. It's funny and kind of dark. It's good. People should watch that. I liked it. I think it got canceled, but it's on Netflix.
He allegedly has a show that he has like created for like HBO or not HBO, but like Showtime called Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll coming later this year.
Oh, all right. I'm in for that. And I like him. How about this? What? Oh, here.
Guys, if I don't bleed to death pretty soon, I'm going to die of boredom.
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 That's the thing he does with the upper register and ending with the boredom.
Yeah. Boredom. I like it a lot. All right, the Widowmaker made me laugh.
He's
laughing.
Great. You're crying and he's putting up his dukes. I mean, that guy's great. And
love him.
I always think of the cable guy.
Yeah.
As he was one of the freaky neighbors. He basically plays.
Oh, yeah.
If they need somebody weird looking.
Yeah.
They hire that guy.
Sure. He's head of the Weird Looking Actors Guild of California or whatever.
Right.
Here's something about the Schmitz. Oh, why is this in here? This should not be in here. Hold on, I'll move it. That's a commercial for something else. For Schmitz beer. Yeah, well, you'll hear it on TMS, but it's not for this. Here you go.
Dogs were fine, happier than pigs and shit.
There's some Jay Moore for you. Here's another one.
Huh? It could happen.
Shut up, Charlie.
All right. From now on, okay. I love this.
Huh? It could happen.
It could happen.
You got to follow. It could happen. You got to follow the from the freaking.
Oh, yeah. James Hong.
Thank you, James. Thank James Hong to this.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna do it real quick. Wait. I can't time it right. I can't time it right. Hold on. Yes, I can. No, I can't. It won't work. I'd have to. I'll rework it.
Just play the two clips for me,
all right,
please.
Here, we're gonna play this one first.
Huh? It could.
Oh my God, that's the greatest thing ever.
I love just how his voice cracks.
Huh? It could happen.
It could happen.
It could happen.
He. When I am not seeing Walken and you're playing clips of him,
yeah.
I'm not sure that it's actually Walken.
Yeah, well,
that's
it is.
How much his voice has been done. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, no, when he, yeah, if he starts doing the thing that everybody copies really well, you're not sure if it's him or not. Yeah, it's a very good point. All right, here's Fletcher who did this just for fun.
I'm bleeding to death. Humor me.
Oh, I forgot one other thing that Widowmaker.
Hold on, Ibbit forgot something.
Help, it's happening.
All right, go ahead.
Frogert from Lost.
Oh, Frogert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I just had to get that out. I was like, oh, of course he was Frogert.
Oh, yeah, dude.
All roads lead to Lost.
Right. Yeah, we all come back to Lost. Except
bring it back around. Give me. Does anybody have a favorite Christopher Walken impression?
I like
a favorite Christopher Walken impression.
Person who does it. You mean?
Yeah.
I think Jay Moores is the best. I love Jay Moores.
Kevin
Pollock.
Pollock.
Yeah,
yes.
Pollock does it really well.
Kevin Spacey also does it.
He does.
His isn't as good, but because he's doing it, it seems crazy.
It seems
funnier. Yeah, he did it for that Saturday Night Live thing where they were showing other people who auditioned for. Star Wars, and he does the Han Solo as Christopher, like, he made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
I mean, honestly, I think Ibbets is pretty damn good.
I'm not just saying
that. I think it's actually really good.
Scott, I'm trying to give you a link to Robin Williams doing Christopher Walken.
Really?
Let's see. It's on YouTube. It's Robin Williams doing Christopher Walken, and it's like he's Christopher Walken, the porn star?
All right. Let's try it out. Here goes.
There's one guy who could do porn, and I think we all would watch. That guy is Chris Walken. Oh, God, yes. Oh, my God. He would be amazing. Chris would be up there going, I'm inside you. So deep inside you now. You now.
Whoa, yeah, shite. We got a little swear in there.
I thought you were stopping after the very beginning. The point is, Robin Williams doesn't do a very good impersonation, but everybody has to. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a job in the world to do. You know what? Sad day when Chris Rockin's not on this planet anymore.
Oh, no kidding.
It's gonna be rough. But he'll live on clearly in every voice actor ever. Now let's, I think that's the end of those. Let me just make sure real quick. Did I get all the clips? I did get all the clips. And that means this, we're going to now do this. Whoops. Why isn't it working? Hold on. Okay. Here you go. It's the checklist. Too many stories. Check. Sean Patrick Flannery looking 90s as possible. Check. And everybody but a couple of people end up chicks in a bucket. Check! Star Trek connections. We got Spike Silver. He was the masked man, number one.
Oh, yeah.
In Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home, An Undiscovered Country. He was a stunt buttle for... Buttle? Stunt butthole.
For
stunt busket.
Stunt busket for Walter Koenig. Sean Whalen, the Widowmaker. He was on Enterprise, played Zuramus in the episode Kanemar. Happy birthday on May 19th. He'll be 51. I guess that already happened. Nope, tomorrow.
You need somebody weird looking. Yeah. Let's get Sean Whalen.
51. He's not like 51, that guy.
No, he doesn't.
Corey Michael Eubanks, masked man number two. He performed stunts in Star Trek Insurrection. He is the son of game show host Bob Eubanks. So that thing you, when I first said his name, and that thing you all thought right away about Bob
heir
Eubanks.
To the Eubanks fortune?
Is true.
He plays a character that does not exist.
Yep.
Remember, that's the same exact feeling the first time you ever saw Robin Thicke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 No, right? Not Robin Thicke. Robin Thicke. Yeah, he's the young one.
Alan Thicke is his dad.
Blurred Lines!
His dad and twin brother.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, weird. Soundtrack great. I give it an NG for not good. I didn't like it at all.
No, very Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. didn't like
it. I was waiting for somebody to walk in and I would have gotten away with it.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
For those damn kids.
Maybe it was privileged. Good. Right in 97,
boarding
maybe.
School kids.
But not now. Not good now. That means it's time for the Twitter post. And that means you, you guys tell me in 140 characters or less what this movie sums up itself to be. Randy, you start.
Suicide Kings. Like two movies, one good leery one and one dreadful one, were woven together using silly string. It's as forgettable as that movie with the...
Continued.
You see what I mean.
Point well made. That's a lot of periods, though. You went over your character amount. All right. Next up, Brian Dunaway.
Ah, Suicide Kings. Like getting beat in the face with a toaster. This movie is officially bumming me out.
Oh. You're his new favorite daddy. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Suicide Kings. Reza Fargo Dogs.
Nice.
There wasn't a lot to get a hold of on this movie.
Nope.
It's kind of tough.
And people are going to be mad. I know this is going to be a big email one. I just know it. It's not going to be quite Red Hot American Summer or Wet Hot, whatever it was. Red Hot.
Red Hot American Summer. It's a porno adaptation of that.
Yeah. It won't be quite the freak out that was, but there'll be some lovers of this. We'll see. I do have an email to... Oh, no, I have alternate titles. Jeez, Scott, come on. Don't get ahead of yourself. These handed to me just now. Hey, Walken, give us the finger. Get it? Give us the finger. Or could use a little less more. Get it? All right, emails. Got one from, who's this from? Someone from, oh, it's Ole Morten from Norway.
Ollie
Morten, sorry. You're probably right. Oh, it says, oi, Sackies. One episode about Leprechaun 4 in space, you were playing a lot of awesome clips with the German guy, Dr. Mittenhand, a common name in Germany, right? He says. Yet you didn't capture my favorite quote from the entire movie. After said doctor had been transformed into German Dr. Spider Scorpion, he had a moment of awakening and yells, I am no longer Mittenhand. I am now Mitten Spider.
Yes.
He says, it was the greatest thing ever. I'm going to say that all the time now. I am no longer Ollie Morten from Norway. I am now Ollie Spider. Anyway. Good stuff. Thanks, buddy, for bringing that up. And yes, we didn't capture that clip. However, we did get a call or two. Well, we're going to play two from the same guy. It'll make sense why. Here's the start of it.
So in regards to the film sack discussion about the guess the password trope, I mean, don't use this one. Yes. I'll just call again. Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
I just love how it fell apart at the end.
That's tough.
All right, then he called back. Here's the real question.
Hey, Scott, it is TFS Bacon Cheddar Ranch creator. Chad from South Carolina. I was listening to the last film sack on Leprechaun, and I'm sitting here, and it feels like it's on the tip of y'all's tongue. When you're talking about the password, how did you let it slide by? The ultimate, I don't want to say the ultimate, but one of the biggest, I guess, meta password guesses in sneakers, the whole C-Pick Astronomy thing. I was just waiting for one of you guys to say that. Anyway, hope you're doing well. Talk to you soon.
Peace out. But it was actually good in that movie. It kind of handled well. You know?
And I did say that, actually. I listed off a few that came up on TVTropes.com that used that.
And you mentioned sneakers? I couldn't remember.
I did, yeah. Oh, I mentioned sneakers and
a lot of emails Batman about that. For whatever reason, that password thing, deciphering passwords thing, really sparked conversation. So thank you for that.
Also sparking conversation, Machete.
Machete.
In space?
Oh, yeah, because Randy Jordan predicted correctly that the next movie that clearly needs a in space treatment would be Machete. Now you're jacking me up. As I would say, Machete is, and they're doing that. That's actually happening? That's a thing, according to IMDb.
There's a listing on IMDb. It's got nothing. I can't help but wonder if somebody just added it.
It's possible because, like, I'll tell you what, the other day, Brian and I on TMS always play this clip that is mashed up sounds that I got from Google's search results where you can get audio. And it says, Veronica Ann Belmont is a new media producer and the destroyer of worlds. Okay, I did it on purpose. It was just a big joke. Now it's on our Wikipedia page. So if people can do that, people can take IMDb and insert things. However, I think I think we were alerted to this so quickly because it was the same day that we put the show up.
The person who did it.
if that's possible. Now, if it was either the person who did it or this is for real. Can you just do that? Like, Brian Nibbett, could you go right now and say, there's a Gremlins 8 in the works? Could you do that?
I don't think you can. I don't know. I don't know how.
You have to be vetted, right? Don't you have to be a pro member?
Yeah, I think you have to be using Pro, IMDb Pro, yeah. And I think you actually have to have an account that has been verified as a studio.
Right. And I'm secretly hoping that a fan of ours has Pro and
and can do this for us.
Yeah, can somehow fake things and throw his whole account away on account of us.
Nice.
Thank you for that. Our next film. Oh, we didn't talk about this. So I think here's what I think. We're going to do this live on the show. I think we should do Punisher 04 next week.
Okay.
And do Punisher Lundgren at Nerdtacular 2015.
Now, we'll put a little space between them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A little space, but also a fun way to sort of, you know, broach each as we get to them.
Wash the Punisher out of your mind before you see the next one.
So what we're doing is we're saving the one that will likely be the visual horribleness that it will be for a place where we show video clips. And then this one we'll do for our regular episode next week. So for those who are very sad, there were a few of you who were very sad we weren't doing it this week because we had said that last week. We're now doing that one next week. That's 04 next week. And then at Nerdtacular 2015, I think we've settled.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something wild changes, Punisher, Dolph Lundgren style.
This will be his second appearance, right?
Lots of appearances. Oh, you mean at Nerdtacular?
In Nerdtacular.
Yeah, because He-Man and...
Masters of the Universe.
Was there anything else with him in it? I guess not. He wasn't in... He
was one of the worms in Tremors.
He was the Tremor worm, got it.
He was the worm.
Okay, perfect.
He gave me Tremors.
Now, that's
Graboid!
That movie's not currently streaming, but we've done that like four times at Nerdtacular, so I'm not that worried about it. But, We're very much looking forward to that.
We'll be handing out copies of the DVD at Nerdtacular for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Everyone gets a free one.
Take them under your chair.
Look for Brian Ibbett. He'll be doing that. He'll handle that whole thing.
We've also got some really fun movies coming up. I'm really excited. Like, after Punisher, we're going to watch Mission Impossible 2 and Escape from Alcatraz and Highlander 3.
Highlander 3, dude. That's the one that's supposed to be the worst possible version.
It's Highlander in space.
Is it really?
Yeah.
There is some.
Yeah, we talked about it last
week. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Is this the one with Mario Van Peebles? Or do I have that wrong?
Highlander 3?
Highlander.
I don't know, but Sean Connery comes back a third time, doesn't he?
Mario Van. Yeah, I think he actually does. Yeah, right. It's the one with Mario Van Peebles called Highlander 3, The Sorcerer. Yeah. And as, hold on, where's the action? Starring Christopher Lambert, his nemesis Mario Van Peebles.
You just like saying Mario Van Peebles.
I really do, a lot. Not since New Jack City have I been able to say Mario Van Peebles so repeatedly. What's he doing now? Hold on, we're just going to check.
Because you know the guy's got peoples.
He's 58 and he is currently not acting. He was in some stuff, but that was all bad. Do you guys hear of Mantervention?
No.
2014 or Red Sky or
that's a hell of a portmanteau.
Mantervention. Oh yeah, look at that. That looks like garbage. Well, anyway, we'll revisit that soon. I can't wait. That's going to be a
Mantervention.
Good one.
Mantervention.
Yeah. Mantervention.
Is that where they intervene? You just being a man?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Mario Van Peebles in drag. I think. I don't know. But one way or the other, we'll certainly see the best of his career in the form of Highlander 3 coming up soon. We never did 2, so we skipped right over 2, straight to 3.
I hope we're able to figure it out.
I think that's everything. Thank you all for being here. Filmsock.com is the place to go. Please sign up, be on the blog, and comment, because we have lots of fun with that conversation. You can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. Email us filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at FilmSack. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
That's the last time I'm going to do this impression.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.